Well, Happy New Year! Pleasant good morning to you wherever you are. Welcome to the fourth day of January 2020 broadcast of Asia Today with Jeffrey Bingham-Mead. As always, that's me. We are coming to you with the miracles of modern technology and the magic of 21st century broadcasting through the renowned studios of Radio 1490 WGCH, Greenwich, Connecticut, USA. We're also streaming online to all four corners of the world through WGCH.com. I gotta tell you, it is a cold, rainy, yucky day out there, but you know what? You've come to the right place. The radio is on. Get your coffee, and we've got a great show for you today. So, without any further delay, let's turn around and get started.
Coming up on today's show,
on Conversations, I am featuring a rebroadcast of an interview that I had with Andrew Singer. He is the author of a fascinating coming-of-age book titled China Sings to Me, A Journey into the Middle Kingdom and Myself. Now, Andrew Singer is a traveler, he is a history lover and collector of books and Chinese snuff bottles who supports his family and interest as a land use and environmental permitting lawyer on Cape Cod, Massachusetts, here in the USA. In his memoir, Andrew Singer explores China in the midst of seismic growing pains and finds the courage to live his own life without boundaries. You could purchase your copy of his book on Amazon or your favorite book vendor. Speaking of books and authors, I just received a fascinating copy of a book written by Kenneth Ruoff. He has been a guest on this show, and his new book is titled Japan's Imperial House in the Postwar Era, 1945 to 2019. This is a very, very riveting book, so I'll be talking to you about that a little bit more and how you can get a copy. Also, did you know that this year, 2020, marks the 600th anniversary of the Forbidden City in Beijing? Well, it's true. Ready or not, Chinese New Year is coming up really fast. We'll have all this and more as today's show unfolds. Stick around. Don't go away.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these important messages.
It's a new year. I'm inviting you to do something extraordinary. A new approach to modern health, created by nature, crafted by Modere. At Modere, they believe you deserve safe, effective, and clean products you can use daily. Modere is committed to helping you reduce, even eliminate, your exposure to controversial chemicals so you and your family can enjoy a safe, healthy home environment. Do you know I use Modere's award-winning Super Nutraceutical Liquid BioCell featuring its patented collagen HA matrix? Say yes to Modere. I did, and I'm better for it. Now, you can learn more at modere.com. That's modere.com, or call 877 Modere 1 or 1-877-663-3731 today. That's 1-877-663-3731 today. That's a new approach to modern health, created by nature, crafted by Modere. This is Asia Today with Jeffrey Bingham-Mead, and I am your host here on Radio 1490 WGCH, Greenwich, Connecticut, USA, and WGCH.com anywhere. Shows like Asia Today rely upon sponsors, advertisers, and underwriters who care about the programming experiences we provide. Private support is the lifeblood of our ability to connect you and our global audience across time zones and cultures. Our ongoing mission is to present listeners like you with discerning, in-depth, cross-cultural content that enlightens, educates, and expands our horizons. We've set up a GoFundMe campaign on Facebook and on RadioAsiaToday.blogspot.com. We also invite you to contact the station at WGCH.com, call 203-869-1490, or email sales@WGCH.com. If you have something to say or announce to the world, radio is the most effective way to do it. We're in the business of helping you succeed.
Welcome to Conversations with Jeffrey Bingham Mead, your host.
My next guest hails from Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Andrew Singer is the author of China Sings to Me, A Journey into the Middle Kingdom and Myself. This is a fascinating coming-of-age memoir about the power of finding your true self in a foreign land, in this case, China. The intermingling of Chinese culture with Andrew's journey of self-discovery and accounts of historical change makes China Sings to Me a must-read adventure. Go out and get it, everybody. Learn more about Andrew Singer by going to andrewsingerauthor.com. You can purchase copies at your favorite online bookstores. And he is here with us today on Conversations. Welcome to the show, Andrew.
Thank you, Jeffrey. I'm pleased to be speaking with you.
Oh, good. All right. Well, my global audience is meeting you for the first time. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I grew up on Cape Cod, as you said, in eastern Massachusetts in the 1970s and 80s. Before leaving for college, I returned back here, back home, to work with my father and raise our family 22 years ago. I have two boys in college now. I am a lawyer, and I run the practice since my dad retired a few years ago. Prior to returning to Cape Cod as an adult, I worked as a Chinese translator with the CIA for a few years near Washington, D.C., before I headed to law school, and then I worked in Oregon briefly during a stint out west. I have immersed myself in Chinese culture wherever I've lived. I still speak Chinese, though not as well as I used to. I'm an avid reader, traveler, and I collect Chinese snuff bottles. My most recent accomplishment is the publication of my memoir. Mm-hmm.
Excellent, excellent. Now, what drew your initial interest to China and Chinese culture?
This is the big question, and it's one I'm often asked. For as long as I can remember, I've had a passion for China and Asia. As to why, I don't really have a solid answer, but I have theories. One is that my parents set me on this path when they told me as a boy that if I dug deep enough in our backyard sandbox, I would reach China. The one I like the best, however, is that I must have been Chinese in an earlier life.
Well, that's possible. You never know. I am a believer in the existence of the unknown, so who knows, right? So, excellent. Now, how did you, given this, how did you eventually get to China, and why did you go?
Well, the why first. Throughout high school, I knew that I wanted to study Chinese and go to China. It was just something in me that I wanted to do. It wasn't so easy in the early 1980s. That was long before the time when Americans could pick up the language in high school or middle school or even elementary school. There were only a handful of college programs, too. I was fortunate to find the one for me. It was at Vassar College in Poughkeepsie, New York, with Professor Inlian C. Chin. She had opened the door to American undergrads returning to China in 1979. I studied with her for 2 years and left for Beijing in August of 1986.
Oh, wow. Okay, that was quite a long time ago then. Excellent. All right. So you get on the plane, you go to Beijing, you land, and what were your first impressions of China when you got there?
Well, I arrived late at night, and at that time, China was a country that closed with the sun. Mm-hmm. So my first impressions are that it was dark, and I was scared out of my mind. In daylight, I was at Beijing University, and in my corner of Beijing, I found it more utilitarian and dusty than Vassar, and it was quite steamy in late August. Mm. The Chinese people I met seemed friendly, but they spoke quickly. Trying to understand and communicate was a challenge right from the get-go. It was one I struggled with throughout China. But there's the point. I was in China. I was nervous. I was unsure, and I was on edge the first few days. But deep down, I was also thrilled to know that I was where I had wanted to go for so long.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, you get there, you are immersed in studies and what have you, and I imagine that you probably had some opportunities to travel around the country, of course. So describe for us some of the more noteworthy journeys that you took in China, and if you would, maybe integrate that with this coming-of-age aspect of the experience.
One of the great things about the program I was in was that they allowed us to travel a lot. And in fact, I went to about a dozen different places in China during the year I was there. Many of them are extremely memorable. Two of them jumped to mind. A friend and I traveled to Chufu, which is the birthplace of Kongfuzi, or as we know him in the West, Confucius.
Yes.
We arrived early in the morning after an overnight train and then an early morning bus ride. And we walked from the bus station to the Kong family forest. Mm-hmm. It was very quiet, very early in the morning, like I said. And this gigantic forest park, it's actually a huge burial ground for Confucius and 2,500 years of his descendants.
Oh, my.
It's a supremely natural, quiet, and it was an emotionally and spiritual visit for us as we walked through and just got to experience and feel, for me anyway, the power of Chinese history and the power of Chinese culture. Mm-hmm. Another trip that was very memorable for me, one of the things that I always grew up fascinated with was the Great Wall of China.
Of course.
And I was fortunate enough to be able to visit several times. On my last visit, a friend and I decided to go camping. And so we brought our sleeping bags and backpacks, and we started hiking. And we kept going until we lost the crowds, which is hard to do in China. And we even walked beyond the restored section of wall, so okay. We were on crumbled sections. We were able to climb up to the second floor of an old guard tower, and we spread our sleeping bags out on the concrete, and we made camp right there.
Yeah.
Late that night, after a torrential rainstorm had passed, the clouds cleared, the stars, they came out in force. And we had that part of North China all to ourselves. It was one of those moments in China when I felt utterly content. And I didn't always feel that way, but this was definitely one of them.
That's incredible. I could visualize what that must have been like. I can't feel what it would have been like, but that is an incredible experience. Did you get caught by any chance? I mean, were you doing anything illegal at the time? I should ask that. Yeah. So.
Well, I mean, now 30 years later, I can answer that. it was against the rules. It was against regulations. But back then, long before there were cameras everywhere, it was something you could do, and it was something we did do. And we were okay in doing it. The next morning, we came back down and got on the train and went back to Beijing.
And you didn't get in trouble? No detention or anything like that. All right, that's good. Well, my friends, we're going to take a short break. With me today on Conversations from Cape Cod, Massachusetts, is Andrew Singer. He is the author of a really incredible coming-of-age book that integrates that experience, but also with being in China, something very personal to him from years ago. It's called China Sings to Me, A Journey into the Middle Kingdom and Myself. It really is fascinating, a wonderful memoir about finding yourself in a foreign land, in this case, China. Of course, it really is a must-read. I strongly recommend it. And come and you can purchase copies at your favorite online bookstores.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these important messages.
This is Asia Today with Jeffrey Bingham Mead on Radio 1490 WGCH.com anywhere, and now on 105.5 FM, Stamford, Connecticut, USA. Contact me anytime by email at radioasiatoday@gmail.com. Learn more about the show at radioasiatoday.blogspot.com. Can't listen in real time? Well, we understand, and we've got you covered. All of our shows are freely available through the news blog on podcast.com, soundcloud.com, and the shows and hosts section of WGCH.com. You're invited to support the show in any amount through our GoFundMe campaign at GoFundMe.com. Asia Today with Jeffrey Bingham Mead broadcasts to the world every Saturday morning starting 10:30 a.m. Eastern USA time. As always, thank you for your interest and for listening. Welcome back to Conversations. My name is Jeffrey Bingham Mead, and I am your host. With me today from Cape Cod, Massachusetts, is Andrew Singer. He is the author of China Sings to Me, A Journey into the Middle Kingdom and Myself. It's a fascinating coming-of-age memoir. You can learn more about Andrew by going to andrewsingerauthor.com, and you can purchase copies of China Sings to Me at your favorite online bookstores. Okay. All right. We are now back. And describe for us, Andrew, your impressions of the growing pains that you witnessed in China by the Chinese people, and maybe even some that you witnessed yourself, you know, within yourself, if you know what I mean.
Yes, absolutely. Well, while much of my book does detail my growing pains, okay, those of China and the Chinese people were just as strong. This was a time when it was less than a decade since Mao had died, China had reopened to the West, and Deng Xiaoping had begun to allow limited private economic opportunities for his people. China was a place in between at that time. When prices in the markets and for services went up, people grumbled. When students and workers did not like what was happening with the pace of political and economic reform, they protested. I was there when Hu Yaobang lost his position and had sort of the initial protests that culminated 3 years later. Mm-hmm. And when the people had a taste of freedom to lead a piece of their own lives, they often took advantage of it, which I understand, but they did it in ways sometimes that drove me nuts. And I was particularly vexed at that time by taxi cab drivers.
Okay.
They could earn more money by working more, but they often would not take you where you wanted to go, and they would always argue about fares. I see now, with hindsight, that they were trying to figure out this new world, as was I, but it frustrated me no end at the time.
So if you wanted to take a taxi cab, say, to maybe a part of Beijing, they would, what, take you someplace else and leave you there?
It wasn't a negotiation of where to go. They would always take me, you know, take us where we wanted to go. But at that time, China still had two currencies. They had the renminbi and the FEC, which were the foreign exchange certificates that foreigners were supposed to use.
All right.
As students, we were able to use renminbi, and it was more economical for us.
Yeah.
Well, oftentimes as foreigners, the taxi cab drivers, they'd want the FEC because they could use it in special places.
Oh.
And so it wasn't that they would not take you where you go, but a couple times they tried to lock us in the cab. Not let us out because they weren't happy with what we were going to pay or how we were going to pay it. And I understand it now, but at that time it was terribly frustrating.
Sure. How old were you at this time, by the way?
When I went over, I was 20 years old, and I was 21 when I came back.
Okay, all right. So if I were a 20-year-old, I would be pretty frustrated and a little bit concerned, to put it mildly. So, oh, my. All right. And you have more of these kind of stories in your book, I assume, yes? So
very many more, yes, of travels and of incidents like these.
Yes, of course. Now, let's see. Summarize as best you can how it is. You use the word transformation. How best, if you could, how can you best describe how you were transformed by the experience of being in China?
Well, what I learned about myself, it took me years to realize, or at least years to be able to vocalize and write about it. Being in China when I was 20 years old, that was the first time I was ever truly on my own, and I was in such an alien environment. It stripped away all pretenses. I saw myself, my personality, my strengths and weaknesses in glaring detail. I realized early on that whether I was going to sink or swim was completely up to me, but I just did not appreciate how hard that path would and could be. In many ways, this year in China was traumatic. It was a seesaw between the positive and the negative. And ultimately, the biggest transformation from this journey is that I learned who and what I am, the good and the bad. It doesn't mean that I'm always in control, but it grounds me to this day.
Now, as we start to close, I have to ask you, Andrew, what do you want readers to take away from this? And please share any final thoughts that you would like.
I appreciate that. I'd be happy to. I am a big proponent of cross-cultural contact and understanding. I think that study abroad programs, both in high school now and in college, are tremendous opportunities. And I encourage people, particularly when they're young, but also throughout their lives, to go out and see the world, learn another language, and experience another culture. It can only be helpful to themselves, to others, and I believe to the world as a whole.
Indeed, and that's part of what this radio show is about and has been about since the very beginning. I'm glad that you were able to come on and to be with us. And again, my dear friends and listeners around the world, my guest today has been Andrew Singer. He is the author of China Sings to Me, A Journey into the Middle Kingdom, and myself. It really is a fascinating coming-of-age memoir about the power of finding your true self, in this case in a foreign land, and the foreign land being China. It intermingles Chinese culture with Andrew's journey of self-discovery and accounts of historical change. It makes China's Things to me really a must-read adventure. So please go and learn more at andrewsingerauthor.com, and you can purchase copies at your favorite online bookstores. Andrew Singer, it really has been wonderful having you with us today on Conversations. Thank you so much, Xie.
Thank you very much, Jeffrey. Xie.
It's a new year. I'm inviting you to do something extraordinary. A new approach to modern health, created by nature, crafted by Modere. At Modere, they believe you deserve safe, effective, and clean products you can use daily. Modere is committed to helping you reduce, even eliminate, your exposure to controversial chemicals so you and your family can enjoy a safe, healthy home environment. Do you know I use Modere's award-winning super nutraceutical liquid biocell featuring its patented collagen HA matrix? Say yes to Modere. I did, and I'm better for it. Now, you can learn more at modere.com. That's modere.com, or call 877-MODERE-1 or 1-877-663-3731 today. That's 1-877-663-3731 today. That's a new approach to modern health, created by nature, crafted by Modere. Before we close today's broadcast, you better make sure you mark the 25th of January 2020 on your calendar. Why? That's when Chinese New Year or Spring Festival gets underway. It's the Year of the Rat. Now, according to ChineseNewYear.net, the rat is the first of all zodiac animals. According to one myth, the Jade Emperor said the order would be decided by the order in which they arrived to his party. The rat tricked the ox into giving him a ride. Then, just as they arrived at the finish line, the rat jumped down and landed ahead of the ox, becoming the first. Optimistic and energetic, people born in the rat year are likable by all. They are sensitive to others' emotions, but are stubborn with your opinion. Their personality is kind, but due to weak communication skills, their words may seem impolite and rude. Now, on the financial side, they like saving and can be stingy. However, their love for hoarding will sometimes cause them to waste money on unnecessary things. Men born in the year of the rat are clever and adapt quickly to new environments. They are creative, great at taking advantage of opportunities. However, they sometimes lack the courage to do so. Although they have great ideas, they might not be suitable for leadership positions. Women born in the rat year are the traditional women. They love keeping things organized and place great value on the family. Everything is taken care of by them, and there is no need for their husband to worry. Outside the home, they are also someone with a sense of responsibility and ability. The Forbidden City in Beijing was home to the imperial court between years 1420 and 1912. Now home to the Palace Museum, it houses more than 1.8 million cultural relics and is one of the world's most visited tourist attractions. Now, to mark the 600th anniversary of the Forbidden City, the Palace Museum announced on Monday that it will hold a series of exhibitions and events throughout year 2020. Over 20 exhibitions will be held in the museum, I'm covering different areas such as history, calligraphy, paintings, Chinese festivals and customs, world civilizations, and archaeological discoveries. Along the river during the Qingming Festival, which is one of China's most famous artistic masterpieces, will go on display in September. It is only put on display once every few years. The painting was displayed for the first time back in 2005 to celebrate the Palace Museum's 80th anniversary, and later in Hong Kong in 2007 to mark the 10th anniversary of its return to China. The Night Revels of Hang Shizai, another jewel in the crown of Chinese art history, will go on display in May. The work of Gu Hongzhong, an imperial court painter during the Southern Tang Dynasty, 1937 to 975, inspired many Chinese painters to imitate the painting techniques used in the work. Special exhibitions on medicine used by the royal family and porcelain wares will also be held. Now, what else? Well, in addition, treasures from the Moscow Kremlin museums in Russia will also go on display in the Forbidden City. The Yangtze Palace will begin displaying exhibits from foreign countries. The palace was recently brought into the spotlight by the wildly popular Chinese drama story The Yangtze Palace, the most Googled TV show of 2018. Another building, the Hall of Mental Cultivation, will reopen in October after undergoing restoration. The hall is a fascinating place for visitors as it served as a political decision-making center and residence for 8 emperors during the Qing dynasty. The number of visitors to the museum, by the way, exceeded 17 million for the first time in 2018. More and more young people are also visiting the museum. That's a good sign. And finally, visitors are expanding their horizons beyond the palaces and halls along the central axis of the Forbidden City. The number of visitors to less well-known buildings, some of which only recently opened to the public, has increased significantly. You can learn more about the Palace Museum at the Forbidden City by going online to en.dpm.org.cn. That's en.dpm.org.cn. If you have been a longtime listener to this show, you will recognize the name Dr. Ken Ruoff. Now, Ken Ruoff, who has been on this show twice, is a professor of history and director of the Center for Japanese Studies at Portland State University in Oregon. He has received numerous awards and recognitions over the years. That includes the Osaragi Jiro Prize for Commentary. This is Japan's equivalent of America's Pulitzer Prize. Now, my friends, with the ascension in Japan of Emperor Naruhito and Empress Masako last year, Ruoff has expanded upon and expanded his earlier book, The People's Emperor, with a new study of the monarchy's role as a political, societal, and cultural institution in contemporary Japan. Recently, I received an advanced copy of Japan's Imperial House in the Postwar Era, 1945 to 2019 by Ken Ruoff. It is published by Harvard University Press. Now, its official publication date is coming up on February 18th, 2020. I have established a link on a special page that I've set up on radioasiatoday.blogspot.com where you can buy an advanced copy. Now, I can also send you a link if you contact me at radioasiatoday@gmail.com and also go to the show's Facebook page. Now, Dr. Ruoff is recognized as the leading authority in the world on the Imperial House of Japan, often writing commentary for Japanese journals, and he has been interviewed by virtually every major media outlet in the world, and he's been here again on Radio 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com. The book is absolutely riveting. I am enjoying it immensely. I'm looking forward to welcoming back Dr. Ken Ruoff to the Asia Today with Jeffrey Bingham Mead show here on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com in the near future. Haole Makahiki Ho, which in Hawaii means Happy New Year. My friends, I really want to thank you very much for tuning in to today's Asia Today with Jeffrey Bingham Mead Show. We're broadcasting to all four corners of the world from Radio 1490 WGCH in Greenwich, Connecticut, USA, from 105.5 FM in Stamford, Connecticut, and from WGCH.com anywhere via live global streaming over the internet. Now, you can learn more about the show at radioasiatoday.blogspot.com. Contact me at radioasiatoday@gmail.com. Sign up to be on our email list, too. Our shows are archived and freely available on podcast.com, SoundCloud, the shows and host section of WGCH.com. And as we like to say in Hawaii, ahoi hou kakou, until we meet again.